Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight on this awesome, awesome part two with our relationship strategist. I tell you guys, you are in for a treat tonight. But before we jump in, I want to share with you about our sponsors. I just want to thank our sponsors this evening, Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, who is the author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm. Her books are available on all of your online bookstore outlets. Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. CDs are available on CD Baby and Reverb Nation. They also write jingles and things of that nature. You heard the music that was played with my show. That's actually, he did the music and I did the words. Unique Expression by Design is another one of our sponsors, specializing in your custom products, be it your business or our personal products. They can take care of you. Angelise Washington will take care of you with t-shirts, cups, mugs, journals, whatever it is that you need customized and personalized, she will take care of you. Ross Heron Beauty Bar, located at 1501 Highway 138 in Conyers, Georgia, beside the Golden Crab, and it's located inside of F&D Beauty. They specialize in your hair care and beauty products, from relaxers to twists, natural hair, quick weaves, lashes, sew-ins, makeup. Roz will take care of you, whatever your beauty needs are. And then Partners in Children's Safety, their mission is to strengthen the community by reaching children of all ages early with positive safety educational programs that will help them to navigate through life with positive and effective alternative safety solutions. You can follow them at PICS, OFL, and that's P as in partner, I as in N, C as in children, S as in safety, OFL. And then their Instagram is Jennifer Fontenot, FONTENOT. And finally, printtower.com is your one-stop shop for your business cards and printing needs. So business cards, flyers, banners, magnetic signs, videography, photography, and websites. So thank you so much to all of our sponsors that is sowing into this fruitful ground here. Thank you so much. We are extending that special this month and next month. Well, until God says differently, it's going to be $25 a month, and we will mention your business each and every week on Fire to Inspire, and then we share it on our social media outlets as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our sponsors, and let them know that you heard it here on Fire to Inspire. Well, guys, tonight our topic is living on purpose in your relationships. Yes, you heard me right. Living on purpose in your relationships. In part one, I'm telling you, Darrell, he was so transparent, and I love him because so many times people can't get healed because others are hiding behind this perfection and facade that they put on. But that is not Darrell. Darrell is real. Darrell is transparent. And I tell you, I want to welcome him back to On Fire to Inspire. Welcome, welcome, welcome to back to On Fire to Inspire. How are you?
I am great, Aaliyah. How are you doing tonight?
I am great. I am great. I tell you, many people are like on the edge of their seats ready and waiting to hear part two with you. But for the people who haven't heard you the first time, introduce yourself to them.
Well, my name is Darrell Fletcher. I am a relationship strategist, life coach, minister, speaker, motivational speaker, inspirational speaker. I'm a son of a preacher, and I am a preacher myself. I'm simply a father of four children that I try to bring up in the admonition of God. So it's a beautiful day in my neck of the woods, and I'm grateful to be here, and hopefully I can share something with someone that would be inspiring and motivational and just you know, downright life-changing to somebody that may be listening under the sound of my voice.
Amen, amen. Well, I want to kind of do a little review for those who missed the last show, and then for those who were here, just kind of bring them kind of back up to speed, and then we'll ask our new questions. So some of the things that you talked about the three areas of a relationship where, you know, they generally have problems. And so it was just like, wow, this is so real. So you said there were three areas that there are generally problems. And what are those areas? Daryl, can you hear us? Uh-oh, we lost Daryl. All right, so he's going to be dialing back in momentarily. But while he dials in, guys, go ahead and share with your friends and family that we are live. Share that we are live. Go ahead and share the post. Daryl, you back with us?
I am back. I'm sorry, we had some technical difficulties there. I apologize.
It's okay. It's okay. So, Daryl, share with us the three areas that most relationships, generally when there are problems, there are three areas that they're probably dealing with. Can you share those with us?
Sure. What I shared last time is when you look at relationships and you break them down or the issues in relationships, they can be broken down into three areas. That's immaturity, selfishness, and unforgiveness. Now, when you break these areas down, what it basically looks like is issues that a person may be having may just indicate that they are not mature enough, or they have not gotten any training in that particular area, or they haven't been groomed in that area to know what to do, how to do, or when to do. The second area would be fall in the category of selfishness. Many times people are selfish single, and then they take their same selfish ways or same selfish thinking into a relationship, thinking that the other person should be able to adapt to them, when meanwhile in a relationship you actually need to adapt to each other. And so many times when a person is selfish by themselves, it's very hard for them to relinquish their selfish ways once they get into a relationship. And then the third way is unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is basically that when you're in a conversation, when you're in a relationship, you are not forgiving of things that have taken place in the relationship. You hold grudges. You hold things against people. You hold things that will just be in a position of where you can't move further. And so I like to say this many times is that when your relationship is stuck in the past, it has no opportunity for the future. So if you're holding grudges against someone, then guess what? That you'll never go any further. From a biblical standpoint, and we find in Corinthians in chapter 12 where it talks about chapter 13 where it talks about love, and it says love doesn't keep any record of wrongdoing. So if you're holding grudges and every time you come into an argument or every time something happens and you're bringing up that person's past, number one, that's an indication that you haven't healed from it. Number two, that's an indication that you're holding a grudge. And number three, that's an indication that you haven't forgiven that person.
Wow. Wow. That's why I want to kind of review and rehash, because these are some key points that people need to, you know, kind of remember and the new ones need to know. So, yes, I love it. The maturity, the selfishness, and the forgiveness. Now, you also talked about some people start relationships, mature relationships with an immature mindset. Can you expound upon that one? I love that portion when you went there.
Well, if you from a mathematical perspective, let's say you start dating at the age of 15, let's say even 16. At the age of 16, your mind is not fully mature. Your mind is not fully understanding of the ways of life. You're really just a big ball of emotions. And I say that all the time, that emotions are indicators. They're not dictators. And many times people allow
their emotions to dictate how they are going to act and what they're going to do and how they're going to think. And with that, if you have your emotions in the driver's seat, then you're bound to have a wreck. So if you start dating at the age of 16, and let's say you get married or want to get married by the age of 26, that's 10 years. So statistically, a person that is at the age of 16 or in 16 or lower, their average relationship lasts anywhere from 3 to 6 months. So sort of for the sake of conversation, we'll give them 6 months. And so when you multiply that two person times the 10 years, you're looking at 20 people that person has been in and out of a relationship with, never fully maturing, keeping their immature ways, rehashing and going over and over the same thing. And when they do that, what happens is they take that immature mindset right into their adult life, never fully understanding and not really understanding how or what it means to be committed. And so when you do that, how can you do something that you've never practiced? Or how can you perform something that you've never practiced? But you can't perform or be committed if you never practice commitment, because you've been in and out of relationships since you were 16. Or you've been searching for love since you've been 16. So with that, it's important to see that we mature, actually men mature a little bit slower than women statistically, and women mature faster than men. But statistically, if you wait 2 years, let's say you start dating at age 18, those 2 years makes a world of difference, and it decreases your chances of rather being with 20 people, it decreases it to 5. Statistically it says 5, between 5 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're getting in your elements of commitment. You're getting in your elements of maturity. And so just waiting a little while, you know, thinking about our younger people, then there's nothing wrong with that. Men and women aren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But let's say, you know, all right, now I'm 35 and I'm 45 or however old a person may be. What should I do in order to practice that commitment? Or what should I do in order to help myself be committed? And one of the things that I coach my clients in is giving them the opportunity to be dedicated to something for a full year. I recommend that they go visit a nursing home, and in that nursing home, they dedicate themselves to one particular person that can't give anything to them, but they dedicate themselves to that person on a weekly basis or on a biweekly basis, practicing commitment, so that they can get themselves in that pattern of being totally committed to something that can't give them anything back.
Wow. Now, I love that, because so many times people jump into relationships, jump out of relationships, and you said, okay, if you think you're ready for that, we'll commit to a senior, someone in a home, and be committed to that person on a weekly basis and see if your commitment level is there. So, I love it. So explain to us the purpose of your why.
The purpose of my why I do what I do. Well, I spoke this weekend, and this weekend when I spoke, I posed a question to my audience, and I asked them, was your why your reason or your excuse?
Wow.
And what I mean in that is that many times when you go down the list of their resume or you go down the list of their life experiences, they give you a whole bunch of excuses. They give you a whole bunch of excuses of why they couldn't do something. But your why should not be your excuse. Your why should be your reason. And when you are in the position to change your why, then that's what you should do. So my why is connected to the fact that I was married for 16 years. And when I was married, I was very selfish. I was very immature. And I didn't have all the components that I need to be in a relationship or a marriage. So for the first 9 years of my marriage, I was very selfish and wanted things, everything my way, and very childish. And then for the last 6-7 years of my marriage, I tried to fix things. I tried to turn things around. However, unfortunately, it did not work out. And so in the midst of that, I went through a divorce, and I began to date again, and I saw the hurt and pain in so many different young ladies of, you know, dating and all the different things that they went through, and even myself. And so the reason why I do what I do is because I want to help people have thriving relationships. I don't want anyone to go through the situation where I went through and went through a divorce, or get into a relationship and you weren't ready, or be in a relationship and think that, you know, it's always someone else's fault. No, you have to take full ownership of all your things that you contribute to a relationship, whether it's good or bad. And I made the decision to be better and not bitter in my relationships, thus giving me the opportunity to write the best-selling book, Disgusting the Beautiful, The Good, Bad, and Ugly of Couples. I interviewed over 100 couples for this book, and it's a panoramic guide for both broken down into being single, dating, and married, and just giving that picture of what a great relationship looks like. The individuals that I interviewed, they were from first date to a couple that was married for 54 years. So I matched that with the study of human behavior and my experiences, and it has just afforded me the opportunity to really engage in life-changing experiences and having worthwhile relationships.
Wow, wow. There was some more things that you had said about, and I'm loving your why. And so many people struggle with their own why, so how can they, you know, move forth in the relationship of why they're together when they don't even know who they are and why they're there.
Exactly. So in my book, I talk about that. I talk about that in the chapter, in the marriage chapter, and it talks about what's your mission. And when you have a mission, I believe I said this last time, you have a common goal and you have a common enemy. And two people are together for more than just one is cute and the other one is cute, or the one got some money and the other one got some money, or whatever the case may be, or whatever shallow reasons people get together. But the reason why you're together is always bigger than the people that are in the relationship. It could be children. It could be a business. It could be a ministry. Whatever it is, the purpose of you being together is so much bigger than the challenges that you face within the relationship, that you shouldn't be fighting each other. You should be fighting for each other.
Mm, love it. Love it. You shouldn't be fighting each other. You should be fighting for each other. Love it. About to post that on there, too. Okay, and then you mentioned, and I love it when you said this, when you understand your why, your what won't be a struggle. That right there, wow.
It's very true that we understand why, when you understand why you're doing something. There was an old story about a man. He looked at two people in the audience, and he looked at one and he said, "You look like you can sing." And he said, "Well, I can." He said, "Will you sing something for me?" He said, "Well, what do you want me to sing?" He said, "I want you to sing Amazing Grace." And when he sang Amazing Grace, he sang it real pretty and nice, and, you know, everything was melodically done, and it was just a beautiful situation. But then he said, "Well, let me add something to the story. I want you to sing Amazing Grace like your mama is in the coffin and this is your last time seeing her." And when he said, when he put that on there, the man began to belt out this robust, effective, and just utterly beautiful rendition of Amazing Grace. And when he did that, it was so powerful. It was so moving. It moved the whole place that they were in. And so the man that asked the original question of, "I need you to sing this song for me," he said, "See, there's a difference when you know why you're doing something." When he was just asked to do the Amazing Grace rendition, he didn't sing it very robustly or with a lot of feeling or soul behind it. But when he was given his why he was singing, his total rendition changed. And so when a person begins to understand why they are living or why they are in a relationship or why they are in school or why they are going through the things that they are going through, their total rendition of their life has an opportunity to change. You can approach life with such a gusto that it is so amazing to other people that they are pulled in by your why. They're pulled in by your mission. They're pulled in by your exhibit of exuberance. And so when I say your why is your reason and not your excuse, I told the story of how when the woman was getting ready to die, or her sons were getting ready to be sold into slavery in 2 Kings, and the prophet told her to go into her house and just, you know, close the door and get all the pots you can, that changed her why. That changed her disposition of everything, and she had to be willing to go through whatever she was going through, you know, in order to get to where she wanted to. See, she could have had a whole bunch of excuses of why she couldn't follow the directions of the prophet, but she didn't have any more excuses. She only had a reason. And one of her reasons was her two sons were about to be sold into slavery. So she was ready and open and willing to do whatever she had to do. And so when you look at your relationships, are you ready, willing, and able to do whatever you got to do for the sanctity of your mind, for the peace of your relationship, for the furthering of your children, for the long haul? Because too many times we get in situations and we quit so easily and we quit so quickly. But in relationships, when God calls two people together, it's not about those two people. It's about a purpose, and it's about the purpose that they're supposed to do together and about the purpose that they're supposed to accomplish. So once you know your why, it's going to steer your bus. It's going to steer your decisions. It's going to steer where you're going. When you know your why, you can say yes to some of the stuff that you said no to, and you can say no to some of the stuff that you said yes to.
Wow. All right, so guys, we've caught you guys up from last time to this time. Now, what do you mean when you say women speak and think differently? What do you mean when you say that?
Well, that comes from the book Disgustingly Beautiful, and there mm-hmm. are typically four conversations that are going on within a relationship. There's mm-hmm. what is being said, and then there's what is being heard.
Mm-hmm.
There's what is being meant, and then there's what is being felt.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to good communication is understanding or getting all of those lined up. Women think very differently from men. And when women think very differently from men, typically they want a man to think like a woman, and vice versa. A man wants a woman to think like a man. But because of our hormonal differences and our hormonal variances, it's quite easy to understand why we think the way we think. Now, I believe I alluded to this last time, that women carry milk in their breasts, they carry baby in their womb, and they carry egg in their uterus. So everything about a woman is designed to nurture life. That's why women are more caring. That's why women are more open and acceptable to things. Point in case, you can be at dinner with a woman, having a lovely evening, and she will have the ability to tune into your conversation and the conversation of a couple two tables over. Because women have the ability to be open. If you look at the anatomy of a woman is designed to receive. And so a satellite receives whatever signal they're picking up. And when they give off or when they are receiving that signal, what happens is they are constantly thinking, constantly interpreting, constantly seeing. That's why a woman is more apt to take care of children, because she's nurturing. She can produce milk in her breast and take care or sustain life. Men weren't designed to sustain life. They were designed to give life, but weren't designed to sustain it. And so that's why the reason, that's one of the reasons why men think the way they think. A lot of times men think, people will accuse men of being shallow or insensitive. It's not that they're shallow or insensitive. It's just that the way they're designed and their chemical makeup, it puts them on a different path and a different understanding from men. So to paint that picture of what I'm referring to, it's when a woman says something about her day, she's giving indications of what she really needs from her spouse or man. When a man, so I, in coaching sometimes, I hear women say, well, why you just can't do it because I want you to do it? Or why do I have to tell you to do something? What she's really saying is, I need you to pay more attention to what's really going on with me. And so, a man might say, well, why you won't just tell me what you need done and I'll do it? And it's his way or his and how he thinks of, hey, I just need instructions and I'll follow the instructions. But the woman is not looking for her man to necessarily follow instructions. She's looking for her man to show that he cares. And one of the best ways to show that he cares is to demonstrate that in his thoughts and in his actions.
Wow.
So I give six ways that a man can be more, can pay more attention to his spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the first way he can pay attention to is just care about her day. Really, really just like listen to what she has to say. If she's coming home and she got to pick up the kids from over here, and she has to do things over here, and then you want her to come home and make dinner. If she tells you that, she gives you this long litany list of things that she has to do. One way for you to show and care about her day is to intercept one of her activities that she says she has to do. If she has to go grocery shopping, why don't you intercept and go ahead and go grocery shopping? If she says she got to pick up the kids, hey, okay, baby, I can pick up the kids. And that's just showing that you really care about her day. Rather than having her to voice that opinion, and as a man, I honestly say this, you know, it would be easy for her just to tell him, but she's telling him indirectly. And if he's paying attention, then he can anticipate her needs, but rather than just responding to her complaints.
Wow. I love it. Love it. Love it. So why do you think we can't seem to be on the same page, the men and the women? Why do you think that we can't seem to be, you know, speaking that same language?
Well, we can speak the same language. We just have to teach each other what language we speak.
If
I speak Spanish and you speak English, it doesn't matter how loud or how slow I talk in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But if I give you some words and tell, or if I point to something and say, one of the words that I remember from Spanish class is lapis, which is pencil.
Mm-hmm.
So, lapis, I'll pick up a pencil and show you. Now you're going to look at it and think pencil. I'm going to look at it and think lapis. And so if I say to you, I point to you, lapis. Or let's bring it a little bit further. Remember in the movie Color Purple, when she was learning how to read, and she would spell out W-I-N-D-O, window, and she would point to the window. So now she knows how to spell it, and she knows what it looks like. So she is in association to what it looks like, and she is in association to what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, if we transfer that same principle to our relationships, slowing down and not getting into our anger and getting into our feelings of emotions, let's slow down for a minute and just begin to explain things to someone. Okay, listen,
mm-hmm.
When this happens, this is how I feel. And when I feel like this, it makes me think like this. And when I think like this, it makes me do this. Because what you do, what you think, and what you feel are in a big cycle. Because if you feel a certain way, you're going to think a certain way. And if you think a certain way, you're going to do something. And so rather than responding to the negative behavior, let's address, one, how you feel, and two, how you think. And in, and bringing that person into your world of explaining how you feel and how you think will give you a better opportunity for your communication to be better.
Amen, Daryl. I tell you. Well, we're going to open up the phone line for questions, see if anybody have any questions, comments about anything we covered tonight, because you've given us some great, great information that, you know, helps us understand why we speak a different language from, you know, the relationships, the marriages, whatever the callers that are listening in are in. So if you have a question or a comment for Daryl, press 1, and we'll bring you on. You don't have to say your name if you don't want to. We'll bring you on live for you with your question. So, Daryl, tell us the name of your, because you have a book that you talked about, Disgustingly Beautiful. Tell us about how they can actually get to that while we're waiting for them to get the nerve to press 1. Press 1 if you have that question or comment.
Well, if you want to get the book Disgustingly Beautiful, you can text the word beautiful to 555-888 and then click on the link and you'll actually be directed to order the book. Text the number 555-888, keyword beautiful, and you'll get a link and you can order the book right on your phone. If you don't have access to a phone, or if you're listening on your laptop or desktop, you can go to disgustinglybeautifulthebook.com. Again, that's disgustinglybeautifulthebook.com. And we'll be more than happy to send you an autographed copy of the book, disgustinglybeautifulthebook.com. Yes.
All right. We have a person that's press 1. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. You are live. What is your question or comment tonight?
Well, it's kind of twofold, but my question is, how do you bridge that communication gap? And as I was listening to you speak, I was thinking about, you know, relationships with business, and then I have 2 sons and a daughter. So I'm thinking all this male-female stuff, like even sometimes I see the way some women treat their little boys or just communicate, you know what I'm saying? I work in the area of domestic violence, so I see a lot of young women hitting young men. I'm trying to encourage them, you can't do that just because you're a woman. But I guess sticking with the subject at hand here, how do you, I guess I know there's differences, but how do we how do we mend, or what's the solution to the differences that we have communicating with one another?
Well, one of the solutions is being honest about how you feel and how you think. Many times in the relationships, we hide how we really feel, or we mask how we feel with certain behaviors. When I was married, I would always know when my ex-wife was angry, because her leg would shake. Then I would ask her, was there anything wrong? And then she would tell me no. But I knew by the behavior that there was something actually wrong. And then maybe an hour or even sometimes a day, she would come back to me and say, hey, well, this is what was wrong with me. And there's nothing wrong with for a person to have the opportunity to process their feelings. However, you have to be really honest about what you're feeling. And one of the ways that we can break down that level of communication is just being understanding that we are different. And when you understand that you are different, you focus on what draws you together, or you focus on what brings you together, rather than what brings you apart. One of the easiest ways to do that is looking at your differences and celebrating them. If we take a picture at the female and the male anatomy, we are very different. But those differences line right on up when they're put in the right perspective. And so that's the same thing with our communication. That's the same thing with, you know, how we communicate to one another. When we put things in the right perspective, everything can line right on up.
And you're saying it's okay to say, I need a minute, but just be honest,
yes.
You know, I'd like to talk about it later, but not right now.
Exactly. See, all a man needs is a little bit of explanation. He doesn't want to be left in the dark. So many times I will have to say that many men will push the envelope, but in the time of peace, you don't do it when you're hot or when you're angry. You explain to that person, listen, when I'm like this or when I'm angry, I need a little bit of time so I can process. My time may be 20 minutes. My time may be an hour. My time may be a day, whatever it is, but please allow me to process it because I don't want to respond in a bad way. And when I respond in a bad way, it kicks off the argument. I don't want to argue. I want to communicate. I want to connect. So give me a minute to go through my feelings or whatever I got to do in order to be at peace with the next level of my conversation. And when you do that, what that does is it actually gives that person an opportunity to understand how you think. So now they can begin to speak your language. Okay, she needs about 10 minutes, so I'm going to leave her alone. I'm going to go over here somewhere and just watch the game or read a book or whatever the case may be. But you got to give your partner that space and that time to process, because if you don't, what you're doing is you're forcing them to lash out in their emotions, and that's not good for anybody.
I like that. Yeah, when I was married, that was one thing. I didn't say it like you just did. That probably would be better. But I would take, if I was real angry, I would go pray. I might have been walking the floor crying and praying, and my husband would come in there and say, well, why you need to talk to him first? Why you can't talk to me? And I'm like, trust me, this is going to sound a lot better if you let me talk to him.
Well, see, the thing about that is now that you've learned, you have to continually put that practice while you're single, so that the next time you're in a relationship, you're the things that you practice while you're single are the things that you perform when you're in a relationship. So it's no automatic switch that happens, you know. And here's the interesting thing about that. Many times, people can, if I may use this expression, many times people can behave on their job, but when they get home, they want to act crazy. You wouldn't go off on somebody at your job, so why are you going to go off on your husband? Why are you going to go off on your wife? Because there's a certain level of respect, and there's a certain level of expectation saying, I can't act this way, you know, at work, because if I act this way, it's going to have an adverse reaction. Have to think of it this way. All your behavior is a seed. And when you plant a seed, it's going to bear a harvest. And you have to understand, do I want good fruit or do I want bad fruit? Mm-hmm. Or you can look at it this way. Every challenge in your life or every challenge in your relationship can either produce a problem or a promise. But how you respond to that challenge is going to be the determining factor. Is this going to produce more problems or is this going to produce a promise?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. So unless somebody else has some more questions, I can keep going, because I do want to know and communicate with your male children. But you got somebody else on.
Well, no, I mean, we're communicating with male children. Here are two things that every male child needs and every female child needs. Uh-huh. They need affirmation and they need validation.
Okay.
So when they need affirmation, they need to be boosted up. When they need validation, they need to be confirmed of who they are doubting themselves to be. So as parents, if you're speaking, if you're a female speaking to a male child, you have to bring that affirmation. Now, from the balance standpoint, a mother brings affirmation, a father brings validation. Because a mom can only tell him how to be a man, but a father can show him how to be a man. And children will do what you do before they do what you say.
Okay. And what was validation again?
Confirmation of who he is, confirmation that he is a man, confirmation that he is in the right direction, and affirmation is basically boosting him up to be a man, or giving him credit, or giving him motivational things to say, you know what, I really like the way you do X, Y, Z. I really appreciate it. See, that's affirmation. Those are words that are going to speak into his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, so see, sometimes the way we say something is going to determine how effective it is. So typically a woman may say, well, a real man wouldn't do that. And her tone is off and her attitude is nasty. And so now she's not validating his manhood. She's actually questioning his manhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So another way to say that is it's to pose a question.
Okay.
Because you can say, what do you think would be the outcome if you saw a man do that? See, you've taken the emotion side out of it and put the logic on him, because he's going to think logically. You're like, oh, okay. Well, that wouldn't be in the best interest, or that wouldn't, you know, make sense, or it wouldn't make sense to do that. And then you come behind him and say, well, that's what a real man does, and leave it right there. Leave it right there. See, now, because he's now, that's not an accusation, but there's a feeling of, oh, shoot, I need to step up.
Okay.
Because if you require a man to step up, he's either going to step up or step off. So when you require a young man, see, people don't do what is expected of them. They do what is inspected. So now you put that certain demand on him. Hey, this is how we do things. This is how I believe a man. You got to talk to him. This is how I believe a man should handle this. This is how I believe, or, you know, in some instances, some things. I remember as a young man, I did something, and my mother said, my father died when I was 8 years old. And she said something that really ingrained in me that was awesome. She said, I did something. I can't remember exactly what it was. And she just looked at me and she said, your daddy wouldn't have handled it that way. And me being a man that wanted to be like my father, I'm like, okay, let me change it. Now, many times, many men don't have that influence or have that picture or imagery who they can be. So they have other things that they look at that will quantify them as a man. So now you have to paint a different picture for them. And in our modern-day society, with so many men acting like women and so many women acting like men, things can get confusing. So that's why we have to have a standard by the word of God of what a man is and what a woman is. And in that, that's how we keep them grounded in what we want them to do.
Gotcha. All right, thank you. That was really good. I really appreciate that.
Thank you so much for listening and pressing that one, because you're the only one that's been brave tonight. So thank you so much. Many times people have the same questions you have, but you got some questions for them all. So thank you so much again.
No problem.
Well,
I tell you, Jim.
Let me if I may do this real quick. And I mentioned the six ways that a man can pay attention, and I talked about caring about her day. I want to give the rest of those so that we can begin to understand how to communicate. And I'll also give the ways that a woman can express or meet the greatest needs of a man. So I'm just going to go down the list, and if you have a question about what I said, just press one and I'll give further explanation. So these are the six ways that a man can pay attention and show a woman that she cares. Because here's the thing, two things that a woman needs. She wants to feel safe and she wants to feel important. And if you can make her feel safe and make her feel important, that's two things that have made your day a whole lot easier. So here are six ways that you can pay attention to your spouse or mate. We already said number one, care about her day. Number two, relieve stress from her. Anything that is causing her stress, go ahead and take it off her agenda or take it off her day. Or when she gets home, try to remove everything that could be distracting to her or adding stress to her. The third thing would be offer assistance. If you see her doing some chores and you just sitting on, your butt playing video games, get up off that video game for a second and offer her assistance. Watch her mood. Paying attention to her mood is very key because it's almost like playing double dutch. So now that it's like you're catching the timing, and when you're catching the timing, you know when to jump in, you know when to jump out. So watching her mood is very key and paying attention to her. Listen to her, what she's actually saying, and not just, for the highlights. Listen to all the details. I know as a man sometimes you listen to what she says and it seems like she's just going on and on and you just want her to get to the end of it. But when you listen, pick up on things that she's really saying. Don't just listen to what she's saying. Pay attention to what she's not saying. And then the last one is be thoughtful. Doing things that show that you care. Flowers, texts, taking her shopping, rubbing her feet, giving a massage. One of the things I talked about on the live that I did the other day is if your spouse is in the shower, take her towel, put it in the dryer, let it get real nice and hot, and be there waiting for her when she has a warm, when she gets out get out the shower, and wrap her in that warm towel just to show that you care. Those are, that's just one thing that you can do to be creative and thoughtful and showing that you care. So those are six ways that a man can begin to pay attention to his spouse or his mate to really show that he cares about her. And then the six ways that a woman can help her man or a wife can help her husband is be his cheerleader, his coach, and his consultant, basically showing your support. Being understanding. Understanding. That's one of the greatest needs of a man is being understanding. Understand that he may act like a little kid sometimes because a lot of times men are big kids. So just be understanding, or he's not going to remember everything. Just be understanding, be forgiving. Be like, okay, I see what you're saying. So, you don't have to agree with him all the time, but just be understanding to his opinion, be understanding to how he views things. And number three is giving him the respect that he is due. Giving him the respect that he is due. And communicate. Now, when I say communicate, I'm not talking about being sarcastic. Say what you mean and be what you say. Because when you're sarcastic, that leads so many different signals to a man. Like, once again, it's like double dutch. He don't know whether he should jump in or jump out. So communicate to him effectively. Esteem him in all your conversations. Tell him how good he is. Tell him how awesome he is. If he lost his job, tell him that he's still the greatest man that you ever met, because he needs that support. Because in this world, it's hard being a man and not having the support of your family or your spouse, and then you got to go out there and fight a world that is set up against you. And then the next thing is forgiveness. Stop holding grudges, ladies. I know it's sometimes a natural inkling for you to hold on to grudges because, like I said, women are built to hold things. They hold milk. They hold babies, they hold eggs. So it's a woman's natural nature to hold on to stuff. That's why a lot of times it's so hard for a woman to be forgiving not only of herself but other people. But you got to learn how to heal and you got to learn how to forgive. And the last thing that you want to do for your spouse as a man is he needs affection. He needs, in the words of Marvin Gaye, sexual healing. So if you're his wife, why would you withhold sex from him as manipulation? That's not going to get you anywhere. So those are the six things that a man needs from a woman and a woman needs from a man. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. I was trying to get all those things and post them in this chat. So, guys, if you missed any of those things, they are in the live chat now. Ooh, I caught them, too. All right. I'm telling you, this is some great tips, some great wisdom, guys. Whether you are married, whether you're not married, if you're single and desire to be married, I mean, this is great information because many times people hold on to that unforgiveness. And something he said early in the show, he said, how can you move forward in the future if you're holding on to the past? You can't. And you said something about there's no room for the future when they're holding on to the past. So I love that. And it's so true. So many people are holding on to something that happened 25 years ago. Well, that happened 25 years ago. There's no way they can, you know, change that. Wow. Do we have any other questions or comments? Press 1, and we will make sure that your question is answered or your comment. We're able to hear your comment. I tell you, I've tried to keep up with you tonight. Relationship strategist. I'm telling you, Daryl, you just... Ooh, this has been a powerful, powerful show. I'm telling you, so many people need to hear this because people are not walking in forgiveness. They're walking in unforgiveness. And, you know, if you are perfect, you know, like the Bible says, cast the first stone if you, you know, you don't have room, you don't have any error. But everybody, no one's perfect. You're striving to be perfect. You're striving for perfection, but no one's perfect. So, you know, you gotta walk in forgiveness and show people that you care and things of that nature. I love it. I love it. Daryl, I think they're gonna be a little shy tonight. So I guess they're not gonna ask any more questions.
That's all right. If I could do this real quick, I know our time is short. I'm doing a special webinar for couples and also persons that are single on September 12th. And we're doing, and it's the title of the webinar is Effective Communication for Relationships. And I'll be talking a little bit more about how you can become an audio technician in your relationship. And the audio technician is someone that is designed to pick up things and hear things and do things in order that that it sounds correctly. And that's the same thing that you can begin to do in your relationship. So on September the 12th, I'll be doing a special webinar for couples and singles and even married people that want to have effective communication. Because sometimes you may say one thing and they hear another, or you mean one thing and they feel another. And so we want to get all of those synced up. So if you want to take advantage of getting into the having effective relationship without the misunderstandings and the pain of arguments and all that type of stuff, I want to just admonish you, go ahead and give you the opportunity to register for our free webinar. And the way you would register for the webinar is text the word logistic, logistic, to the number 555-888. Text logistic to 555-888. You'll get a link, and you can register for that webinar. And when you register for that webinar, it'll be on Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. You'll have an opportunity. It's going to be a live webinar once again, so you can, you know, ask as many questions. I only have space for 200 people, so, you know, go ahead and log on today and text the keyword logistic to 555-888. And then click the link and go ahead and register for that webinar, and we'll give you some valuable keys on how you can express your thoughts and feelings better, how there's four conversations going on in the relationship, and I'll begin to tell even more why men and women communicate differently. So there'll be a whole bunch of stuff for the persons that log on to the webinar, and I'll be giving away a free gift in addition to that for those who log on to the webinar as well.
All right. Well, Daryl, we actually have one more caller.
Sure.
You ready?
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Miss Aaliyah. It's me, Joyce. How are you doing?
Great. How are you, Joyce?
Doing very well, very well. I'm so glad you've got this gentleman, Mr. Fletcher, on here talking about relationships, because I've got a buku of questions, but I'll only ask them.
Well, preferably I have a buku of answers.
I hope so. You were speaking about affection.
Yes.
I want to know, is it possible to be in a relationship with someone who is not affectionate?
Is it possible to be in a relationship? It's possible to be in a relationship with someone that is not affectionate. However, when I said two people are different for a reason in order to bring balance. Now, if you have a high affection level and then you're with someone that has a low affection level, then that's going to present a challenge. Because once again, in the relationship, you want to feed each other. And when you feed each other, both people are getting full. But if you have one person that is being fed that and the other person is not feeding, that means somebody is getting full and the other person is not getting full. So at the end of the day, you have to understand that it's important that they see eye to eye on that. Now, here's the thing that you have to understand about affection. Not everyone has grown up in an affectionate home. Remember when I said you can't perform what you have never practiced? And typically, we're performing in our adulthood what we have practiced in our childhood. So when you have a person that is not affectionate, you have to go a little bit deeper into their history and find out why. Because when you find out why they are not affectionate, that may be begin to be a level of understanding, like, oh, okay. Now, if it's something that needs to be healed and they are ready to address it and be healed, then it's on and popping. But if they want to hold on to the hurt and the pain that they experienced that has put them in that position, you know, already, then guess what? You got a problem on your hands. So it's a little bit challenging to be in a relationship for a person that is not affectionate for a person that is. So that's a deep conversation that a person has to have. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of times men are not affectionate because depending on what age bracket they are in and what time, dispensation time they grew up in, a lot of men weren't taught to be affectionate. They were told, you know, don't do that. The girls do that. Or, you can't cry. The boys don't cry. You know, all these different other things. And so in that, you have to begin to understand what's their background, what's their history, because that is an indication of what they're doing right now.
Okay. Now I see, because it kind of like bothers me, because I'm like the type of person where I'm thinking, because I didn't really get shown affection growing up from my parents. All they did was they bought me gifts and things. They never said I loved you. So I was always thinking, whenever God sends the man that's intended for me, maybe he needs to be a little bit more affectionate than myself so that I can, you know, learn to be affectionate and not shun from it, per se.
Yeah. The thing about it is, especially if you have a female that is not as affectionate, then the same rules apply. It's something that may have happened in the past. Now, here's the thing about that. In my book, I talk about the five love languages, which is actually another book. And you can actually do an assessment online, just Google five love languages, and it will tell you about your five love languages. And with those five love languages, you have words of affirmation, you have physical touch, you have words of affirmation, quality time, and then you have giving gifts, and then acts of service. And so these are the five ways most humans show some type of love. So you might have, like you said, they just bought you stuff, but they never gave you any words of affirmation. So you could cling to getting stuff. But even in clinging to getting stuff, People still want that connection of that human connection of, you know what, I love you. So you see that might be a void in your life that you're looking at and like, man, I really need somebody to tell me that they love me, and not just tell me, show me in their actions as well.
Amen. He hit it. He hit it right on the nail. That's it. That's what exactly what I'm looking for.
Well, amen. 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 Wow. Wow. I'm so glad he was able to answer your question. You said you had a plethora of them, so he was able to take care of you. So I'm so glad you were able to get the answer.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thanks so much for dialing in after your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. I tell you, Daryl, it's such a blessing to be able to have you back on because, again, you know, so many people are not trying to figure out where the breakdowns are. They're just throwing in the towel. And you're like, no, that's not how God designed it to be, you know. So you said something in the first show. And you said anything is fixable if you're willing to put in the work. And I thought that was like, whoa. That's, I was like,
100% of marital issues are fixable, but you have to be willing to work at them. Nothing is going to happen overnight. I heard an expression, and it said, Rome wasn't built in a day, it was built every day. And the challenges that you have experienced in your life didn't happen all of a sudden. They happen over a course of time. And so you just can't want, because the light goes off to where, oh, we really got some issues or we really got some things going on and we need to fix them. Yes, they need to be fixed. But you have to put in the same work that you put in to get there. You might even have to do more to get out. Because it's easy to get into debt, but it's real hard to get out of debt. So if you're going to do anything in life, relationships, business, you got to be willing to put in the work. You got to be willing to put in that effort to say, you know what, I want the results more than I want what I'm experiencing right now. I want the change more than I want the challenge.
Wow.
And if you put yourself in a position where you're working for the victory and not declaring your own defeat, then you have an opportunity to win. But as long as you keep highlighting how hard it is, as long as you keep highlighting how rough it is, that's where your focus is, and that's where your energy will be. But my focus is focusing on winning. I don't have time to focus on losing. I don't have time to even focus on the pain that I'm experiencing because I'm the Bible says it this way, forgetting those things and pressing towards the mark of the higher calling. So I got to press in. I got to move out and shoot or whatever I got to do if I want to win at this thing. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done, hopefully. Many times I hear women, especially in the body of Christ, saying, well, I'm waiting on my Boaz. Or the scripture says, he that findeth a woman or he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And so they sit around doing nothing, waiting for somebody to be their knight in shining armor and coming to rescue him. When the Bible says he that findeth a wife, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he's going to come knocking on your door. What it's really talking about is getting in position. Because when you look at the story of Boaz and the story or the story of Ruth and Boaz, Ruth sat at his feet and was in position for him to do what he had to do. So you can't be in your house, stuck in your house every day talking about, I'm waiting on my Boaz. No, get in position. Get yourself dolled up or take care of yourself internally, and take care of yourself internally first, get healed from some stuff, And then that's actually putting yourself in position as well. So if you're putting yourself in position internally, and then when the person that is supposed to be your spouse shows up, you're ready externally, then it's just a domino effect. But if you're out of position, both spiritually, internally, and externally, then Boaz will pass right by you. So it's not about sitting in your house waiting for Boaz to come knock on your door. What it's really about is you being in the right position so that Boaz can even know that you exist.
Mm. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. That's good stuff. That is good stuff. Definitely good stuff. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, Daryl, share with us how we can follow you, how we can, get your books and things of that nature. How do we follow the relationship strategists? How do we do this?
Well, I have several ways that you can connect with me. You can connect with me through my website. My website is DarylFletcherSpeaks.com. That's D-A-R-Y-L. Fletcher, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R, speaks, SPEAKS.com, DarylFletcherSpeaks.com. On my website, you can take advantage of my books. You can take advantage of a free coaching relationship strategy session. You can take advantage of the webinar that we're going to actually be having coming up on September 12th, which is a free webinar on communicating more effectively. And here's the thing about it. You don't have to be in a relationship, because once again, you could be in preparation for that person. So putting into practice what you're going to be performing in that relationship. So I recommend that people from all walks of life, whether you're single, dating, or married, register for this free webinar. And the way you register is text the keyword logistic, L-O-G-I-S-T-I-C to the number 555-888. When you click on the link, we'll get you registered. I only have 200 spots available for the webinar, and then I'll be giving away some free gifts when you register for the webinar. And if you would like to, once again, to take advantage of the book, you can log on to disgustinglybeautifulthebook.com, and we'll be more than happy to get you a book and put an autographed copy in your hand. You can follow me on social media, Daryl Fletcher Speaks or D. Fletcher Speaks. Twitter is D. Fletcher Speaks. Instagram, D. Fletcher Speaks. Facebook, Daryl Fletcher Speaks. And I want to tell everyone to join our relationship channel on Facebook. That's the Love Logistics Circle. Join the Love Logistics Circle. Every day I'm tweeting. Every day I'm giving out valuable relationship advice. Every day we have polls and questions of how to handle certain relationship issues. And if you have a question or a concern, go ahead and inbox me on the Love Logistics link, and we'll be more than happy to answer your relationship questions and help you have a thriving and healthy relationship.
Well, Daryl, we have truly, truly, thoroughly enjoyed all of your wisdom and powerful nuggets this evening that you have shared with us. We have, make sure you check the chat, because people will continue to post, comments and stuff. So, and I've placed as much as I could catch in there, because you were rolling and I was trying to stay with you. So I was trying to put the stuff in there, but I did put the webinar information, text 555-888. To get registered, the information about the six ways of a woman can help her husband, six ways a man can help pay attention to his wife. So I tried to grab all of the golden nuggets that you were throwing out there so that, they could grasp them. And for those who missed the live show, they could go back and listen to the recording, because once they see all of this, they want to hear the whole interview. So we thank you again for taking the time out with us tonight and joining us on Fire to Inspire.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Have a great night now. So, guys, this has been another awesome, awesome show with the one and only Daryl Fletcher. Mr. Relationship Strategist himself. I'm telling you, he's been such a blessing. So if you missed any of this interview, make sure you go back and listen to the entire interview because he gave us so many powerful nuggets. A lot of things he is actually telling you from life experience. He's actually went after, you know, his marriage did not work out after 16 years of being married. He looked inwardly and he prayed about some things and he actually just started researching. Just researching. And so what better way can you receive someone who has been there and walked through those shoes, walked through the same shoes that you may be wearing or, you know, you may want to wear. So the best way to prepare yourself to be effective, efficient, and productive is to go back and listen to someone who's walked in those shoes. So make sure you go back. The recording will be available shortly. So I'm telling you, he has given us some things to think about. He's given us some things to say, hey, you know what? These are some things that I need to implement because maybe there's some things that you used to do and you stopped doing. Maybe those are some things that your spouse used to do and he stopped doing them. So this may be a broadcast that you may want to listen to with your spouse or get them to listen, you know, in their time if your schedules are a little different because I know so many people's spouses work, you know, opposite schedules with the children and things of that nature. But there was so much great information shared. So make sure that you tune, you know, go back and listen to the recording because there's so much that needs to be heard. I thank you so much for joining us tonight on Friday Inspire. We're here every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We bring things to empower you, encourage you, inspire you, and push you into your purpose and your passion. It's time to stop existing and start living the life that God has created for you to live. So I want you to be a positive and productive person, walking in person, living a purposeful life in every area of your life. I want you to be positive, productive, and happy, and healthy in every area of your life. So if it's in your relationship, it's in your finances, we talk about it all. But it's all about getting you healed, whole, and walking in everything God has called you to. So I thank you for listening, and we will be back next week starting out our September series. We have a powerful group of people we're going to be interviewing throughout the month of September. And it's a manifestation, a group of authors and life coaches, ministers. So I'm telling you, it's a great, great show. Some great shows coming up for the month of September. If you want to advertise on our show or become a sponsor, we are extending that $25 a month thing. So if you want to reach out to me, you can email me at onfire2inspire@gmail.com. That's spelled out on fire. toinspire@gmail.com. Also, On Fire to Inspire, the book is available on Amazon and Kindle, and there are pieces on there that encourages you and empowers you. There are pieces called Dare to Dream. There are pieces called a piece called Full Potential, a piece called Redeemed, Triumphant, Chosen, because you have been chosen for this life. You have been pre-qualified and qualified for the life you're living, but you're already qualified for the life that God has called you to live. So stop existing, stop procrastinating, and live the life that He's declared for you to live. That's to win in every area of your life. Again, I am Aaliyah Butler. I am Miss On Fire to Inspire, helping push you into your purpose. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next week.